Through the Lord Jesus Christ, we come unto thee, our Father and our God, and in the Holy Spirit. We ask thee that in this hour thou shalt take thy word and teach thy people, that the word may fulfill that for which thou hast sent it, and prosper in its way. Be with all those who listen, as they are in the home, as they are getting ready for some service, as they are taking care of sick ones, or perhaps as they are driving along the highway or listening while in the hospital or in jail. Be very near to each person that listens in this hour. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great texts of the New Testament is, "The just shall live by faith." And I want to talk to you today about living by faith. The just shall live by faith. This text is found in the Old Testament, in the book of Habakkuk, and then it is found in the New Testament three different times. The just shall live by faith. These words have made their impact on multitudes of individuals, and even on our times. The just have learned to live by faith, and are growing daily in that knowledge, even in the midst of a world where the unjust live by defying God. If we're to get the deeper meaning of this text from the first chapter of Romans, we must understand the simple meaning of the words. For words mean different things to different people. A bottleneck means one thing to a glass manufacturer, and quite another to the foreman of an assembly line when mass production is delayed by lack of one or two parts. A ball means one thing to a debutante, but something else to an athlete. In the same way, the word just means different things to different people. The Oxford English Dictionary gives this as the very first definition of the word, that does what is morally right, righteous, just before God, just with God, or simply just, righteous in the sight of God, justified. And unhappily, it concludes this first definition with the statement, now chiefly as a biblical archaism. Yes, the word just is an archaism, something that is out of date with men, but it is not out of date with God. We must never forget that the devil is constantly at war with words. Satan is called a liar and the father of lies. Of necessity, a liar must deal principally with words. In order to put his evil purposes across, Satan is constantly tinkering with human vocabulary. Originally, a word has a meaning that is crystal clear and as pure as distilled water. Then the devil begins to add little meanings of his own until the word that was good takes on a meaning that is obnoxious. The dictionary's second definition of the word just is upright and impartial in one's dealings, rendering everyone his due, equitable. But by the time the fifth definition is reached, we find that the word means conformable to the standard or to what is fitting or requisite. And when we study some of the meanings that are now obsolete, we find that at different times in the history of literature, the word just has carried such ideas as honorable in one's social relations and well-adjusted clothing. Unfortunately, we cannot get away from the meaning of equitable and fair, even though this usage of the word just is a dilution that is actually a poisonous adulteration. To call a man just when he is simply fair and honest is to distort the language. For just as the righteousness of man and the righteousness of God are two distinctly different kinds of righteousness and cannot be compared, so great is the distinction between God's justice and man's justice. Indeed, in the New Testament, there is no difference between righteousness and justice. When I began to study the Bible in foreign languages, I was greatly disturbed by the fact that there was apparently some confusion between the words righteousness and justice. For example, I discovered that the French and German translations used the same word for righteousness and justice. I hurried to the original language and found that the Greek word was the same in all instances. It is the English language that has made a difference between the idea of righteousness and that of the righteous man who shall live by faith. I hope this makes it easier for you to understand that the just man who is to live by faith is only the man who has been made righteous by the work of God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The man who is just only in the human sense can never live by faith because he has never been made alive in Christ through faith in him. In the 3rd chapter of Romans, Paul tells us that the righteousness of God is apart from the law. That is, it has nothing to do with man's obedience to a set of precepts. For if it did, it would no longer be God's righteousness. It would be something that man had done instead of something that God has conceived and provided by grace. Whether wicked or good by man's definition, whether unrighteous or righteous as man sees him, whether unjust or just from the human point of view, the sinner can become righteous, just, justified only by an act of God. In grace, God provides this righteousness as a gift, and it is His own righteousness. And since it is God's own righteousness, it is not merely a righteousness which He approves, but a righteousness of which man is incapable. So, the just shall live by faith means that the man who has been justified, made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ, shall live by faith. Now at this point, it might be well for you to ask yourself whether you are a justified person. It's useless to talk about faith and living by faith if you are not one of those to whom the life of faith is possible because you have new life given to you by the act of God in regeneration. Have you abandoned all hope of salvation through your own merits? And are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on Calvary for you? Do you believe that Christ was wounded for your transgressions, that He was bruised for your iniquities, and that the chastisement of your peace was upon Him, and that you are healed from all the effects of sin by His death? If you do, then you are a justified person. The life of faith is possible for you. It makes no difference from what background of sin you may come. God begins with you exactly where He finds you, and He will take you on through life to final triumph. Now, what does it mean to live by faith? In the first place, we must understand what faith is. Here, the dictionary is of little help. We find that when we look up the word faith, we're referred to trust, confidence, and belief. If we turn to belief, we are referred to trust, confidence, and faith. If we turn to trust, we're told to look up faith, confidence, and belief. And so it goes around the circle. But one sentence in the dictionary on this subject is worthwhile. The Oxford English Dictionary points out that the word believe is pure Anglo-Saxon, and that originally it meant faith and nothing else. But as our English language emerged from French and Anglo-Saxon, the word believe became much weaker, so that now belief in God means much less than faith in God. In popular usage, belief now means the mental acceptance of a proposition, a statement, or a fact as true, on the ground of authority or evidence, assent of the mind to a statement or to the truth of a fact beyond observation, on the testimony of another, or to a fact or truth on the evidence of consciousness, the mental condition involved in this assent. But Wordsworth wrote in his Excursion of one in whom persuasion and belief had ripened into faith. Perhaps the best illustration of the word faith, I think the best I've ever heard, is this incident from the life of John G. Peyton, who was a missionary to the savages in the New Hebrides. He set out to learn their language and wrote down in a notebook all the words and phrases which he learned. Then he began to translate some of the gospel stories into the language of these savages. However, he soon discovered that he did not have any word for faith, confidence, trust, or belief. Now, you can't get very far in translating the Bible without equivalents for those words. One day, Peyton went hunting with some of his helpers. After shooting several animals, they started to carry the game back to the house of the missionary. The equatorial weather was oppressive, and they arrived home almost exhausted. They dropped their burdens and then threw themselves down on the grass to rest. One native sighed, "Oh, it's good to stretch yourself out here in the shade." Peyton noticed the expression, stretch yourself out, and had the native repeat it several times. And this became his word in his translation of the Bible for faith and belief. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall stretch himself out on Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Again he translated Acts 16:31, stretch yourself out on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And so on throughout the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. The just shall pass out of death and into life by faith. According to God's declaration, the human race died when Adam sinned. At the moment of the fall, death passed upon the race, and man was spiritually separated from God. Just as physical death is the separation of soul and spirit from the body, so spiritual death is the separation of the soul and spirit from God. Now, how may men be reunited with God? God cannot be propitiated by sacrifices, ordinances, or religious rites devised by man. God is not satisfied by a change in your psychology or your manner of thinking. It is impossible for the separated soul to be in tune with the infinite, or to realize oneness with the creation, or to make harmony between himself and God simply by deciding that harmony exists between himself and God. Divine righteousness had to be provided by God himself, and God has done that through the sacrifice of his Son on the cross. We read in Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Woe unto the man who attempts to be saved by any psychological religion. The just shall pass out of death and into life by faith. The just shall begin to live by faith. The just shall come to life by turning away from any hope within himself and by stretching himself out on the finished work of the Savior. The second phase of this great truth is that when a man has passed out of death and into life, he is to continue to live by faith. The justified man must draw his breath from the air of heaven, not from the pestilential miasma that infects the atmosphere of this earth. We're in the world, but not of it. Therefore, we are to live by faith as inhabitants of heaven. There's a great illustration of this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul tells of those who saw Christ after the resurrection, and he says, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. The Greek word for one untimely born is one word, ektroma. This word is found nowhere else in the New Testament. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, the word is used in Job 3:16, where the suffering patriarch cries, why was I not as a hidden untimely birth, as infants that never see the light? The same word is used in Ecclesiastes 6:3, where Solomon says, if a man does not enjoy life's good things, I say that an untimely birth is better off than he. Because of our Puritan heritage and the Victorian influence, certain words have become taboo for public use in English. But I believe that America has advanced enough for me to use plain speech here without shocking my listeners, especially since my explanation is designed to bring light to the hearts of God's children. Paul's expression here in 1 Corinthians 15:8 was the word best translated as child of abortion. Today, we might call it an incubator baby, a premature birth. Paul says that Christ appeared to him as to a premature baby. The Christian is in the dark womb of this life, in the age of darkness that is ruled by the prince of darkness. We shall be born into the light at the return of the Lord Jesus, and shall be perfect from that time on. But, says Paul, God, let me see the risen Lord Jesus Christ in advance of my time. On the road to Damascus, the Lord ripped me from the womb of earthly things and let me behold the glories of heaven. Then he put me back into earth to breathe out my days in service for him, until he removes me to his eternal dwelling place in glory. And just as an incubator baby must have a special atmosphere that is not the chilling air of earth, so the Christian must live in the atmosphere of heaven, although he is forced to live on earth for a time. He must get air and food from heaven, communicated to him moment by moment through the faith of the Son of God. The justified man shall live by faith. The justified man shall eat the bread of heaven and breathe its air by the faith of the Son of God. In the light of all this, why are there so many weak and stumbling Christians? They are not living by faith. Why are there so many unhappy Christians? They are not living by faith. Why are there so many confused Christians? They are not living by faith. In his great hymn to the Holy Spirit, Isaac Watts wrote, "Come, Holy Spirit, heavenly dove, with all thy quickening powers, kindle a flame of sacred love in these cold hearts of ours." And then he wrote these lines, so terrible because they are so true. "Look how we grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our souls can neither fly nor go to reach eternal joys. In vain we tune our formal songs, in vain we strive to rise. Hosannas languish on our tongues, and our devotion dies." Dear Lord, and shall we ever live at this poor dying rate? Our love so faint, so cold to thee, and thine to us so great. And I answer without hesitation that the church will continue to live in coldness, in love with the trifling toys of the earth and at a dying rate, unless Christians learn the secret of this verse, "The just shall live by faith." Let me turn the verse around so that you may see its possibilities. The just by faith shall live. For Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, forever, and today. When we realize that fact, we shall be empowered to live in moment-by-moment victory, drawing life from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is now seated at the right hand of God as our mediator and intercessor. Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when conscious of thy sin, its heavy weight upon thee, its mighty power within. Then is the hour for pleading his finished work for thee. Then is the time for singing, "His blood was shed for me." Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when daily cares perplex, and trifles seem so mighty the inner soul to vex. Then is the hour for grasping his hand who walked the sea. Then is the time for singing, "He makes it calm for me." Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when thou art full of care, for loved ones still refusing our blessed hope to share. Then is the hour for trusting our Lord to bring them nigh. Then is the time for singing, "He loves them more than I." Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when tempted to transgress by word or look of anger or thought of bitterness. Then is the hour for claiming thy Lord to fight for thee. Then is the time for singing, "He doth deliver me." Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when thou art wearied sore, when head or hand refuses to think or labor more. Then is the hour for leaning upon the Master's breast. Then is the time for singing, "My Savior gives me rest." Oh, trust thyself to Jesus when loved ones pass away, and life is sad and lonely and very dark the way. Then is the hour for yielding entirely to his will. Then is the time for singing, "I have my Savior still." And finally, the just one day shall enter into the fullness of life by faith. "He that believeth in me," the Lord said to Martha, "though he were dead, yet shall he live." It was the custom in olden days for many funeral inscriptions to contain the phrase, "entered into eternal life," on such and such a date. I once told friends that they could put on my tombstone, if the Lord tarries, that eternal life had long since entered into me, and that now I had left off the earthly life to live nothing but the eternal life that has been mine for these many years. Yes, the justified ones shall one day be like the Lord Jesus Christ. This is our blessed hope and expectation. So, since we have come to live by faith through our regeneration, let us live daily by faith in the risen, sustaining Lord, so that the day shall come when we shall live no other life forever. The justified ones by faith shall live.